Wasn't that an amazing and wonderful time of singing and worship? Wow, that was great. Worship team, thank you. That was fantastic. What a great God we serve. Isn't Sunday great? I love church. We get to be together. We get to worship the Lord. We get to hear Sarah Briggs do the most amazing announcement. That was incredible. Public Speaker of the Year. That was great. So if you're here as a guest, my name is Mark Mullery. If this is your first Sunday here, thanks for joining us today. We have been, during the sermons, going through an extended series in the book of Romans called Transforming Grace. We're taking a one-week break today. Today is our member meeting. We have a short text from Scripture that is appropriate to today. Next Sunday, we'll pick back up in Romans 8, 18 to 30, and then we'll take a two-week break. How many of you have heard Randy Newman speak? Okay, so Randy's going to be back 2 weeks from today speaking to us about how Christians help one another grow, Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, how we can encourage one another and help one another grow. And then the week after that, Matt Bradner, who'll be with his wife speaking at the marriage retreat, he'll be here to preach on Sunday morning talking about how we can be a missional church, how we can be a church on mission. So that's what's coming up. So Romans 8, 18 to 30 next week, and then Randy Newman and Matt Bradner after that. So today, we are in a short passage of Scripture from Paul's letter to the church in Thessalonica. And so this is 1 Thessalonians, and we're just going to look at the closing sort of wish prayer that's at the end of this letter. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 23 and 24. This is one of those prayers that's also sort of a blessing, a benediction. This is something that the speaker is asking God to do, but sort of asking God to do with his eyes open, looking at the people that he's asking this for, hoping and trusting that God will bring this about upon them as a sort of as a blessing. So it's kind of a prayer and a benediction at the same time. So here's how it goes. 1 Thessalonians 5, 23 and 24. Now, may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. Let me read that a second time in the paraphrase from the Message. May God himself, the God who makes everything holy and whole, make you holy and whole, put you together, spirit, soul, and body, and keep you fit at the coming of our Master, Jesus Christ. The one who called you is completely dependable. If he said it, he'll do it. Isn't that good? If he said it, he'll do it because he's completely dependable. That's the God we've been singing to, singing about, and now let's pray and ask for him to meet us here. God, we are here because you took the first move. We're not here climbing a ladder to heaven. We're here because you not only created us, but you sent your Son to be a redeemer for us. You have called us. And now, having called us, we pray that you would meet with us, fill us freshly with your Spirit, open our eyes so we might behold wonderful things in your Word. And I pray, God, at the end of this message, I pray that you would be greater in our eyes than you are right now. I pray at the end of this message, the hope of being holy, of being like Christ and with Christ, I pray that hope would just be bursting at the seams in our minds and our hearts. Do something that will have eternal consequences for your glory through this message, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we come to a Sunday, one of the two Sundays a year when we have these member meetings, we're thinking about church, and I want to just ask, what makes for a good church? What if you have to move someplace new and look for a new church? What do you look for? Maybe there are people visiting here today and you're looking for a church. What What do you look for in a church? What makes for a healthy church? Having been a pastor for quite a while, I've heard the kinds of things that people typically think about. You know, one of them is the music, the singing, the worship. Another is the preaching, the teaching, the sermons. Another would be programs. Maybe they have children. They're thinking about what's available for the kids. Or one thing people often are thinking about and looking for is, what kind of people are they in the church? Are they friendly? Are they nice? Can I make relationships here and find friends here? Is the church oriented to mission and evangelism? What kind of outreach is going on? Where do they meet? Is it comfortable, accessible, attractive? Those kinds of things. Let me flip the question around and just ask, what's on God's list? What is God after in a church? What's God's plan for local churches? What's God's plan for this local church? Think about churches around the world, churches meeting out in villages, people in congested urban areas, very small house churches, big mega churches. What's the end game? What's the goal for Bible-believing, gospel-oriented, Christ-exalting churches? Where is it all going? Where are we headed, Redeeming Grace Church? You know, twice a year we have these member meetings, and today being one of those days, this provides an opportunity for us to just slow down and get some perspective. Why are we here? What are we doing? Well, there are a variety of things we could find in God's Word to answer questions like that. This passage provides one simple summary that needs to be functional for us. In our passage today, we find something that God is seeking in every church, including our church. It's a prayer, but it's kind of a wish prayer. May this be so for you. And here's the prayer, here's the wish. May the God of peace sanctify you completely. May the God of peace sanctify you completely. You know, I was thinking about this, and I've been a pastor for 30 years now, and I don't recall, I've talked to lots of visitors over the years, and they've asked questions about the church. I don't recall anybody ever asking me, hey, pastor, are the people of Redeeming Grace Church well on their way to being completely sanctified? Now, I kind of get, it's kind of a weird question. I kind of get why people wouldn't ask the question, but the fact is, this is what God is after in every church. Holiness. That's what sanctification, to be sanctified, that's what that's all about. Now, when I say that word holiness, what happens when you hear that word? What do you think of? What do you feel? Do thoughts come to mind like, well, holiness, that means don't do bad things, right? Holiness, that means change your behavior and follow a list of rules. Holiness, that means being boring and dull. And I understand why those kinds of things can get going in our minds, but you know what? Holiness is much more exciting and interesting than that. Because to be holy is to be whole. It's to be the way you were supposed to be. To be holy is to be renewed in the image of our holy Savior, Jesus Christ. Is the Grand Canyon boring? Is a spectacular sunset boring? Well, if those aren't boring, if you think those are amazing, you should see the person who created those things. That's not boring. Holy is not boring. Our God is holy. And the big picture of what God is up to is this. God is calling out a people in the world, a people to be like Christ. And to be with Christ. That's the other part of this prayer. He who calls you is faithful to keep you blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where it's all going. So, here's the simple main point for today. What God has started in us won't be fulfilled. It won't be complete. It won't reach its end until we are completely like Christ and forever with Christ. That's what I want to set your minds on this morning. That's what the Holy Spirit has inspired this text to do, to set your minds on Jesus Christ and gain a fresh stirring and vision that what God is after in you, in us, in churches like us, in the church of Jesus Christ around the world, all who call upon the name of the Lord, what he's doing is bringing us to a place of being like Christ and then forever with Christ. Christians become Christ-like, spirit, soul, and body. It's pervasive. Christians end up with Christ in a new creation. So, what does it mean to be a good church? What's a healthy church? What's a successful church? A successful church is a church that prepares people to be like Christ and to be with Christ. This is a perspective that we need to keep in view as we go through the busyness of everyday life. This is God's plan. So, three simple points this morning. Remember the plan. Remember your part in the plan. Remember the planner. First, remember the plan. Remember the plan. Now, may the God of peace sanctify you completely. Here's the plan. God sanctifying you. Now, over the past several weeks in our series in Romans, if you've been here, we've been learning about sanctification, haven't we? Well, here's a prayer that God will finish that work, complete that work. So let me just ask, let's think about this word. Our terms are important. May the God of peace sanctify you completely. What does this word sanctify mean? Well, there are two pieces to it. You need to get both parts of this. The first part is to set apart. To sanctify something is to set something apart. So a holy thing is something that's set apart for God. It doesn't even have to be a person. If you read through Leviticus, you'll find that when God was giving instructions for setting up the temple, they had tables and lamps that were holy because they were set apart. They belonged to God. They were there for God's service. You probably have things in your life that you set apart for some special thing, right? I love baseball. I love the Washington Nationals. I have this jersey that Leslie gave me for my birthday a few years ago. It sits in the closet. I don't wear it to church. I don't wear it when I play golf. I do wear it when I go to the Nationals games. It's set apart for Nationals games, right? It's special for that purpose. It's got a special use. And so to be holy, to be sanctified means it's positional. It has to do with your status. You're saying you are set apart for God. That's the first part of it. The second part of it has to do with the kind of person you become. So it's to set apart, and part two is to purify. To purify. So God sets people apart and calls them holy in order to make them holy. Right? He's making us to be a people who are able to glorify him and enjoy him and reflect him to the world around us. So in our character, we're becoming what we already are. We are holy. We are saints in Christ. And that is working its way through body, soul, and spirit, every part of our lives. So we've been talking about sanctification being this gradual, growing righteousness. There's this right way of living after the image of Jesus Christ that's taking root and growing in our lives because we have right standing with God already. Our statement of faith, we have this wonderful document, our statement of faith, and there's a great section in there on sanctification that Kenneth mentioned to me last week, and I was so grateful that he reminded me about this. I hadn't read it for a while. I went back and just read that. It'll be this section will be in the follow-up that goes out after the message. And if you don't get those, see me or email the office, and we can get that to you. But here's what it says in our statement of faith. Just one of the lines is this: this work of sanctification begins at conversion, and it is carried out by the presence and power of the Spirit. So let's think about when may God sanctify you completely. What does this mean? Well, sanctification has a starting point. When does sanctification start? It's not when you're born. We're not born into sanctification. It's when you're born again. It starts at conversion. When you come to a saving relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ. Sanctification has a starting point. It also has an ending point. Sanctification has an end point, and that is Christ's return. May you be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's called glorification. We'll actually be talking about that in the latter part of Romans chapter 8. Sanctification has a starting point. It has an ending point. It also has a goal, if I can just make a slight distinction there, because the goal in sanctification is for Christians to become like Christ. Now, what does that mean? Sometimes people can hear something like that or hear about holiness and think, well, if I become too holy, I'm going to lose my personality. I'm not going to be me anymore. I'm going to end up like a clone or a robot. But that's not how it works. Sanctification, this goal of becoming Christ-like, means you're still you. You have your personality. You have a new body that will be given to you when Christ returns. You'll still be you, but you'll also have the character of Jesus Christ in you. That kind of love, that kind of joy, that kind of justice, that kind of integrity, that will be alive inside of you. That's who you will be, and that will animate your personality and your body. You will be wonderfully unique and at the same time like Christ. That's what God is up to in our lives. And we can't do that on our own, and so sanctification has a power. It's carried about by the presence and the power of the Spirit. Oh, how we need the Holy Spirit. Oh, how we are grateful for the union with Christ that we have, having been filled with the Spirit of Christ. And so we're in this process, this gradual growing righteousness. And it's a struggle sometimes. We've been learning in Romans 6 and 7 and 8 because we're still fighting against this remaining sin, this indwelling sin. The Spirit of God has come to dwell in us, but the spirit of sin, the sin that's in us, is still there. And so that's living in us. But actual growth and progress in holiness is not only possible for you. It's the normal Christian experience. Growth in the character of Christ, the increase. You want to know what the character of Christ is? Well, go to Galatians 5 and look at the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, those kinds of things. Those can be ever increasing in the life of a believer. It's not only growing to be like Christ, it's growing to carry the missional heart of Christ out into the world. Holiness and mission aren't opposites. The reason there are Christians is because the Holy God is reaching out to grab hold of lost, unholy people. And then he puts that heart in us so that we want to do the same. As holy people, we want to go out in an unholy world and be witnesses to our great and holy God so they can come and be sanctified as well. God's plan is that this progressive work continue every day of our lives. There's no ceiling on sanctification. Nobody's going to get there completely in this life. There's no such thing as a perfect church, no such thing as a perfect Christian, right, until that last day. But there's also no stopping what the Spirit is doing. Until Jesus returns, the Spirit of God is relentlessly and ceaselessly at work in you, the believer, to sanctify us. I was thinking about this a couple Sundays ago. Our neighborhood, there was a ice cream social, and they had some classic cars there. And there was this amazing Jaguar, this 1967 Jaguar E-Type. This was a picture I got off the internet, but it looked just like this. It was amazing. And I'm standing there just talking to the guy who owns the car, and he was telling me about how he got it, how long he'd had it. And we were talking about how you get an old car like this to look like this. And at some point, you know, the restoration is involved. And so he started explaining to me what's involved in painting a car like this. He said, well, you start by taking all the chrome off. And all the chrome goes one direction, and they re-chrome it, however they do that. And then all the metal gets taken apart, and they sand it down and grind it down. And piece by piece, they take this thing apart, and they restore it. They make it new again, and then they put it back together. And you know what? That's exactly what God is doing in you. Piece by piece, part by part. There's no place in your life that's off limits to the relentless work of the Holy Spirit to renew, to restore, to make you like Christ. And every day that He gives us on this earth is another opportunity for the sanctifying, ever-increasing, right living way of the Holy Spirit to make us more and more restored into the image of Jesus Christ, even more glorious than a 1967 Jaguar E-Type. So, remember the plan. May the God of peace sanctify you completely. Now, remember your part in the plan. Remember your part in the plan. May the God of peace sanctify you completely. So, I just want to ask a question. What part do you have to play in this process that we call sanctification, of becoming more like Christ? How does it work? And it's easy to get this wrong, isn't it? We probably miss this on one of two sides, and maybe we wobble back and forth from one side to the other. But we can miss it in thinking, well, you know what? It's all up to God. He says He's going to do this here, so don't really have to do much. So we can live carelessly and just coast. The other way we can miss it is to think that it's all up to us. We might know better than to say that, but we can live like that. Right? I can. So then we get all tense and anxious. We get all self-sufficient, and if things are going well, self-righteous. If things aren't going so well, we get all depressed and discouraged. But sanctification is a cooperative process. Our statement of faith says the individual believer cooperates, especially, and here are some ways that cooperation works. By means of engagement in active obedience, prayer, meditation on Scripture, worship, true fellowship with other believers. It's a cooperative process. There are means by which this is carried out. It doesn't happen by magic. There's no magic spell. There's no magic wand that you can wave over your life or over a church to all of a sudden sanctify everybody. It's a process that involves trusting obedience. Prayer, as Kenneth talked about, prayer is vital in this process. Not only private prayer, but prayer together in the congregation, prayer with the saints, which is something we want to grow in as a church. Meditation on Scripture, worship, fellowship, the Lord's Day, gatherings like this. So this is why a letter to a church that can be so full of what God will do in these verses can, just a few verses before, also be full of commands. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. These are things to do. These are things that we're walking in. Give thanks in all circumstances. Don't quench the Spirit. Don't despise prophecies. Test everything. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. There's a cooperation in our lives. We learn about who God is. We learn about what God is like and what He calls us to and what Christ is like and how we live following Him. Holiness requires effort, and holiness requires partners. Right? So we join together to assist one another in imitating God's character and putting it on display to an unbelieving world. Sometimes this happens in the most unexpected ways. The recent Hurricane Florence dramatically changed the wedding plans of Jake and Brianna Suter, and that resulted not only in a work in them, but also a work through them. And if you come to the member meeting, you can hear that wonderful story that Dave's going to tell later this afternoon. God wants to bring his kingdom into every square inch of your life. This is his top priority. Sanctification, growing in Christ-likeness. Now, how are we doing? How are we doing as individuals? Let the Spirit just work in our hearts and let the Word examine. How are we doing as a church? It's hard to measure sanctification, isn't it? My car broke down recently, had it towed up to my mechanic, and he looked around, couldn't figure out what was wrong, so he takes this tester and he plugs it into this little port in my car, and oh, here's the problem. Well, you don't have a sanctification port, do you? You can't get a sanctification readout today. Oh, yeah, here's you made some progress here. Here's where you got some issues. It's not quite so easy. But God's intention is that we cooperate with his sanctifying Holy Spirit at work in us. And cooperation involves means. It also involves keeping your eye on the prize. And sometimes it's so hard to keep that in view, isn't it? It's easy to become distracted. But to grow in Christ's likeness, we must continually see Christ. Be waiting for his return. Seeking his Spirit's power. We want to go through life with one eye on him and the other eye on all these other things that we're involved in. This is a weird illustration, sorry, but stick with me, maybe it'll work. Don't often get up before my wife, Leslie, but I did this morning, and it's predictable what happens. When I get up before she does, I make my tea, and I go, and instead of meeting with God in the regular place in our bedroom, I meet with God in the living room, and then what happens is the dog, Eli, here's Eli, the dog does this thing that really irritates me. What does he look like he's doing there? He just looks like he's lying there, doesn't he? But he's not. He's pointed in a particular direction. You know the direction he's pointed in? He's pointed at the stairs waiting for Leslie to come down the stairs. Because in the morning, I mean nothing to him and Leslie means everything to him. Because she walks him and she feeds him. And this is what this dog lives for. So this dog, I'm here, I'm a pastor. I'm a holy Christian trying to meet with God, just interceding for the church. It's the Lord's day. And this dog, he's just restless. And he gets up and he sticks his nose over in my arm and he's looking over at Leslie and he's just walking around. But always he's pointed at the stairs waiting for the first sound of the person who's going to change his life forever. I find this so annoying. And then I was thinking, you know what? I think the Lord actually wants me to learn something from this dog, because this dog knows his desirable future. He's waiting for someone. So, Mark, who are you waiting for? What are you restless for? Mark, are you settled down at home here, or do you have one eye on the last day when the Lord returns, when you are with him and like him? I hate to admit this publicly, but I want to be like Eli, our dog. Sorry, I told you it was a weird illustration. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. Got your eye on the stairs? That's what we're waiting for. Church, that's our future. That's what we're aiming for. That's success, to see him as he is, to be ready and blameless when he appears, and then to be like him and to be with him forever. And in the meantime, to bring as many people with us as we can. That's what Redeeming Grace Church is here for. That's what we're all about. That's our part in the plan. Let's keep pointed with at least one eye on the stairs, waiting for the master to come down and make our day forever for the Lord's return. Number three, remember the planner. Remember the planner. Hope he's coming into view already. But I want to end this message where this passage has its primary accent and focus. Now may the God of peace sanctify you completely. We've talked about how sanctification works, right? You have a part to play. So just circle back to the question, who's responsible for your sanctification? We've talked about who works in it, but who's responsible for it? We need to keep a couple distinctions in front of us here. Justification and sanctification, we've been talking about those as we're going through Romans. Those are two different things, and they work differently. Justification, theologians say, is monergistic. Big word, what's it mean? Mono, one, ergon, work. So there's one person who works in justification. In other words, you don't contribute anything to be brought into right standing with God. You'll never have good enough character. You'll never earn enough good works or merit points with God to deserve to be saved, to deserve to be adopted into his family. You receive that as a gift through the finished work of the worker who is Jesus Christ, the triune God, putting together this plan of redemption that then we receive freely as a gift, one worker. Sanctification, not like that. Sanctification is synergistic. Soon, together, ergon, work, working together. In sanctification, we and God both work together. There's a cooperative synergy that's taking place. Now, how does this come about? How does this work? Well, let's remember, God starts the work, right? We join in the work, responding to his initiative. God empowers the work by the Holy Spirit. God assures that the work is completed. We must not confuse these two. If you try to bring work of your own into justification, you'll end up smuggling character and work into justification and think that you have some credit in it, or think that if you do something wrong, you're going to lose it. Not the case, but sanctification is different. So in sanctification, the Holy Spirit dwells in the believer, giving new life, awakening these desires that you now have to trust and obey and glorify God. He doesn't do this without us, but we couldn't do a bit of it without him. So we have to be clear on where the accent is on how this work gets done. We have a part to play, but this is not an equal partnership. There's a majority partner and a minority partner here, right? The accent in this passage and the accent in Scripture, and we'll see this as we go through Romans 8 as well, the accent is on God, God's power. So remember the planner. Doesn't mean there's nothing for us to do. Colossians 1:29, for this I toil, that sounds like work, doesn't it? Struggling, that's work, with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. That's this cooperative process. So we must be aware of our part to play in this, but we must be more aware of his commitment to make this happen. That's where joy comes from. That's where rest and peace comes from. We must feel the weight of God's commitment to finish what he started. Right? You go through life, you want to serve the Lord, excited about being a Christian, and then all of a sudden you find these inner conflicts. I do things I don't want to do. I don't do things that I do want to do. Now what? Where is this all going? Who's going to win? How's this all going to turn out? And so God, the Holy Spirit, inspires a letter to be written to a church. And it says, now may the God of peace sanctify you. Where's the accent? It's on God, right? Sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept. Kept by who? Kept by God. Blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will do it. Hear me. He who calls you is faithful. He will do it. If he said it, he will do it. Let's keep the accent in the right place. Let's keep our confidence in the right place. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, this story that we're a part of, it's God's story. It's his story. He knows how he wants it to come out. And he's got all the power that he needs to make sure it comes out the way he wants. God has decided, God has planned, out of a mass of humanity in rebellion against him, to reach and call and save and gather to himself a holy people. A people to whom he says, I am your God and you are my people. To be holy means to be set apart and taken out of one thing and into another. God's plan is to have a holy people to be with him in his new creation forever. Are you in on that plan? It's an opt-in decision that's required. You can't earn your way into this people, but God invites you to come into this people. Maybe you're here this morning and you're not part of that people. Maybe you don't know this God. Maybe your sanctification, knowing Christ, becoming like Christ, looking forward to being with Christ, maybe that hasn't begun yet, but it can today. All who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. This great planner, this great God, has a great heart, and he's inviting every human being to come. You are here this morning to hear this invitation. Come, join his family through Jesus Christ. You know the old Greek mythology story about King Midas? Touched stuff, it turned to gold. Actually got kind of problematic there. You know what happens when King Jesus touches people? You become holy. And that's not problematic. That's what it means to be a Christian. You're experiencing the touch of a holy God. And he's begun a process of making you like himself. God knows your name. God's taken up your cause. You're not lost in some vast bureaucracy. If you're in Christ, you're an adopted child dear to your beloved Father. You ever been lost in a huge bureaucracy? Immigration problems, some legal problems, corporate problems, and you know how hard it is to find somebody who will help you, find somebody who's got the authority and the wisdom to help you. When I was in college, I did a short-term mission trip in Hong Kong one summer, and when it came time to come home, something went wrong with my ticket. I had a ticket, but it was an open-ended ticket, and when I tried to get it booked to come home, they kept telling me there were no flights for like weeks, and I was not excited about not coming home for weeks. So I just, every day I'd go back, and nobody could really explain what had happened, and it was so discouraging. And then one day, it was like a miracle. I went back, same thing I'd been doing, and this one person, I just said, look, I just want to go home. And this one person, she said, I'll help you. And because she got involved, I was home on a flight the next day. She took an interest in my case. And everything changed. How much more when God says, beloved son, beloved daughter, I will sanctify you completely. I've called you. I've promised it, and I will do it. Let us live in the confidence of a great plan and a great planner. We used to sing this song years ago. I was thinking about it this week. I had to go hunt around. I couldn't remember the title of the song, but the first verse goes like this. Oh, wondrous love that will not let me go. I cling to you with all my strength and soul. Yet if my hold should ever fail, this wondrous love will never let me go. I cling to you, doing my best. But you know what? I need a plan B when my best isn't enough, don't I? If my hold should ever fail, where is my hope? It's not in Mark. This wondrous love will never let me go. That's just right. Striving, working, clinging, pursuing. Yet, here's where I rest. This wondrous love will never let me go. Come into that rest today. Come to that place of a great God, a great calling, a relentless commitment to finish what he starts. Now, may the God of peace sanctify you. It's a plural. Sanctify this church completely. Said it, he'll do it. What God has started in us will not be fulfilled until we are completely like Christ and forever with Christ. Find some way to remember that on Wednesday. It'll make a difference in how your week goes. What God has started in us won't be fulfilled until we are completely like Christ and forever with Christ. Find some way to keep your eye on the stairs this week. The one who's coming back. The one who's relentlessly committed to making you like him. A successful church prepares people to be like Christ and to be with Christ. We must keep this perspective in view. There's something here to know, that God is committed. He has a plan to having a sanctified people, to be like him and to be with him. There's something here to do. We want to cooperate with this process. And there's something here to feel. Great confidence that God has said it and he will do it. Well, I want to encourage you to take this prayer, memorize it. It's only two verses. It's not that long. I want to encourage you to memorize this prayer. You ever find yourself praying for other people and then kind of like end up saying the same thing all the time, or you can't think of anything to say? When you find yourself in that spot, here's a prayer you can pray for every believer. So memorize this. Put it into practice. Pray this for other people. Pray this when you're with other people. This is a wonderful blessing to pray over other Christians. This is a prayer you can pray with your eyes open as you're praying for other people or with other people. So we're going to pray this together. We're going to close the service this morning praying this prayer together. So would you stand with me? We're going to have a do-it-yourself close of the service, a do-it-yourself benediction, okay? So we're going to pray this, and you can pray with your eyes open. And actually, you can look around, because as you're praying this prayer, I know we're kind of all facing one direction, but as you're praying this prayer, you're actually praying this for the people next to you, the people around you, the people behind you, in front of you. This is what we're praying for each other. This is a wish. This is a desire. This is a blessing that we're praying upon other people. And this is a confident certainty that God will do what he's called us to pray here because of who he is. So I'm going to pray it first this way. Would you join me, please? Now, may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. Okay, now we're going to pray it a second time in that other translation from the Message. May God himself, the God who makes everything holy and whole, make you holy and whole, put you together, spirit, soul, and body, and keep you fit for the coming of our Master, Jesus Christ. The one who called you is completely dependable. If he said it, he'll do it. You believe that? I believe that. That's our confidence. He said it, and he will do it. Okay, things we need to know on our way out. You just had the benediction. You just prayed it yourself. So here are the last things. Downstairs, there'll be a fundraiser pizza lunch before.